at the root of it all. It helps to start this whole sexual conversation with an accurate and perspective-shifting definition, or for many, redefinition, of what sex even is. Sex is God's invention. It's comprised of physical, mental, emotional, and above all, spiritual acts of connection designed by the Creator for the unity, pleasure, and reproduction of the very lives He created. Sex is a holy gift, purely designed by a God who delights in lavishing His creations with every good and perfect blessing. It is a pure act given to us as a gift to enjoy and delight in under the divine guidance of the appropriate context, circumstances, and boundaries. Sex is an all-consuming, all-inclusive act of worship and praise. It can't stand alone as just a physical act, or just an emotional act, or just a mentally engaged decision. We can rationalize all day long that sex can be had in a detached manner, but in reality, we're only fooling ourselves. That argument is invalid and baseless, really, because sexual acts always tie souls. They always leave a mark. They were always intended to. Whether we carry them out within God's design is what determines whether that mark is a seal or a scar, because sexual acts were designed to bind two people. In the God-designed context between a husband and a wife, sex is one of the most powerful agents of unification, devotion, and surrender. But outside the guidelines God designed for His own invention, sexual acts become sin, and sin only ever serves to unhinge. Physically, sex includes a beautiful range of acts and expressions. Mentally, sex is a catalyst for the activation of unbelievably powerful neurotransmitters in our minds. Emotionally, sex is an expression of love, surrender, trust, and sacrificial service to another. And spiritually, sex is a tangler of souls, a bonding agent that leaves a permanent imprint on our hearts and our spirits. Sex is powerful and purposeful in as simple as it is deeply complex. It's the most incredible and freeing gift in the appropriate context. But when we simplify or cheapen or commercialize sex as anything less than what it truly is and what purpose it serves in God's absolute and perfect design, we open a Pandora's box of ways that our minds, our hearts, our bodies, and our souls can be trivialized. My research for this book was absolutely dizzying. The statistics I found reflecting young people's exposure to, perceptions of, and practices of many things that fall under the sexual umbrella were as varying and confused and extreme and daunting as you could imagine. What they summarized for me was a clear and undisputable fact that we as a culture have very mixed perspectives, opinions, and definitions of sex, as well as what qualifies as sexual sin. And the sources of those definitions are about as unreliable, misinterpreted, and widely varying as the numbers they reflect. But before we get all high and mighty as Bible-believing Christians and think that somehow our demographic is exempt from the nauseating stats and figures, prepare for a reality check, because professed Christians are the very ones who comprise some of the most startling stats. And it all serves as evidence that even the church is missing the mark in teaching biblical literacy about sex as a whole. Did you know that 96% of young adults, professed evangelical Christians included, are either encouraging, accepting, or neutral in their view towards pornography? And don't